So that brings us to agenda item six, which is report, discussion, and possible action on the report from Scope of Work Committee. That committee chair is Gary Newman. They have had four different meetings, lengthy meetings, and they do have a recommendation, an action item, a recommendation for the group at the end. So I'm going to turn it over to Gary, if you'll introduce your committee and tell us what you want, and then if you want Tony to speak, that's fine too.
Right. Good morning, everybody. Scope of Work Committee, to do it quickly, everybody that was on that committee, raise your hand. Quite a few meetings. We met on September 24th of last year, November 7th, December 20th, and January 23rd. So quite a bit of work, quite a bit of detail. The charge this year for the scope was to determine the feasible and non-feasible strategies, which was complicated, to say the least. We also, as we went through that, found that there's some people that have never responded to us. And we got clarification from the Water Development Board how to go about that, and you'll probably hear some of that. Tony's group's done a good job. Tony, I'll turn it over to you, and we'll hopefully get you where the group can vote on that IPP.
All right. Good morning, everybody. So I'm just going to pick up on the activities of the scope of work with this item, the scope of work committee. They met in September, November, December, and January and put in a lot of hard work to essentially, we started with the process that was adopted by this planning group back in February of last year, about a year ago. This body selects a process for vetting potentially feasible strategies. And we modified that process from the 21 plan. We consider 21 strategies, I say 21 strategies, the strategies from the 21 plan, both recommended and alternative. We include strategies evaluated but not necessarily recommended in the plan. We look at strategies that were involved in previous plans. There's also a list of statutory categories. That committee went through all of those. We've started with a very large list, and that's just the starting point. Then we take the projections of demand, both municipal and non-municipal, and we look at identifying draft needs and developing additional ideas to meet those needs. That includes quite a bit of communication with local interests and water providers throughout the region. A lot of engagement that we attempt to do to solicit information to reflect local perspectives in a regional plan. Now, of course, with our regional plan, we've got regional water planning rules, both statutory and guidelines from the Water Development Board that have to be followed. The committee, essentially, our efforts were in developing information for the committee to consider to make sure that we're ascribing with those regional planning guidelines while still trying to vet the strategies in a manner that's effective. It resulted in an initial list of feasible strategies, and then we included additional ones as we solicited information from folks and got refinements to either old strategies or if there were new strategies that were identified, we've worked to include those. One of the additions to the process, and this is important just to remember, you guys may recall that about a year ago, we went through an infeasibility exercise, looking at projects that were not feasible or no longer feasible that were in the 21 plan. And at the same time we did that, we recognized that this planning process, we don't want to do that again. And so we modified the process to ask questions about the feasibility of the strategies. That way, come next planning cycle, you know, inevitably there will be some always going and updating information, but we want to try and minimize at least the amount of infeasible strategies that we're recommending. Makes sense, to the best that we can, while still, as John mentioned, while still trying to plan for people We're trying to engage as much as possible. That was the order from this full planning group to the technical consultant team 4 years ago, and we're still doing it. But we're trying to pull in all that information and make a center cut on, okay, what are feasible strategies that are implementable that we can include in the 26 plan. So we include questions like, okay, when's the onset? What's the timing? Is it reasonable? And engaging with the local interests to identify those things where we can. And then we also had some modifications to the process just to flag it if it had any potential for flood mitigation benefits. We did that because of the flood planning process, you know, to just have a good integration with that. And we also flagged it. Now, it doesn't mean like it's bad or anything. We just to notify if a strategy contemplates using the Brazos alluvium, because if you may recall, Region H had some attention to that in their regional planning group. And we were, you know, going to flag that and share that through our interregional coordination with that planning group. Some drivers that went through this scope of work committee process. So obviously there's emphasis on avoiding infeasible or unrealistic strategies. We talked about that quite a bit. Now, I say we, I mean the committee did, and the technical consultants worked to support them. Unmet needs were a topic of high attention in the sense that it's no surprise there are many locations within the region, this region in particular, that have limited supply alternatives. But at the same time, we're trying to vet it as comprehensively as we can with the budget, as much as budget and time allow, in coordination with some water providers that do communicate well, some that may not have communicated as much. And we try to avoid unrealistic strategies, both on the surface water side and the groundwater side. That was a topic of a lot of discussion from the scope of work committee. Is that fair to say, members? I'm getting head nods. And there was, again, the way I personally describe it is like a center cut. It's trying to find that sweet spot of, okay, this is a implementable strategy. If we didn't get a lot of local information, we're working with the best information we have. And where we did get good local information, we try and incorporate that to the maximum extent that the rules allow. But that puts us in situations sometimes, and I'll use groundwater as an example, but this group, you remember, you may recall, that the policy committee had a significant discussion added this cycle on groundwater and the use of the mags in planning versus, you know, how much or how little the mags are used in real world permitting side of the equation. And that discussion lies within Chapter 8 of the IPP that you have in front of you today. That discussion played out with many strategies in the scope of work committee, in the sense that, you know, in the real world, they might be able to go out and get a permit for X amount of acre foot over the mag when a GCD isn't required to use the mag for permitting. And is it realistic to recommend a pipeline or some other project when in the real world they could just build another well and would be allowed by the GCD if it's allowable in the real world? Why would we make a fake strategy in the plan? And there was a lot of those kind of discussions. I'd say it's same for the surface water side. Again, with regional planning, it's no surprise to any of you. The focus is on drought of record conditions. So we look at really extreme situations. And with under those drought of record conditions, we might see extreme pictures of water availability and water resources. But that's what our stated objective is from the Water Development Board. And those came down to discussions at the scope of work committee level on the various strategies that were identified. And so we did the best to do a center cut to provide strategies that were realistic and try to avoid infeasible strategies. The scope of work committee also looked at the impact assessment. So as part of the process, we look at the impacts to the state's long-term protection of water resource, state water resources, agricultural resources, and natural resources. That's looking at hydrology, environmental factors, water quality, both impacts to rural and agricultural areas. And then while the scope of work committee didn't get there, we have a placeholder in the IPP for looking at the social and economic impacts of not meeting the needs. The reason why I say it's a placeholder is because the Water Development Board has indicated to us that they'll be providing that information to the Strategic Planning Group, I believe in August. Is that right, John? I think August is the stated time frame. And so when we get that report in August, we'll share that. Whether it be with the committee or the full planning group probably remains to be seen. But depending on what we get there, that'll be included for the purposes of the final plan. And then the planning committee also considered updated costing information. That means that the cost that we get from whatever strategy, whether we're bringing it from the 21 plan or if we're engaging with an entity that's done their own planning and they've identified the dollars, we just saw Mr. Smith's dollar values for his project. We take all of those and get those into September 2023 dollars. So we're all talking an even playing field in terms of relative dollar value. Whether it's a project in 2080 or a project in 2025, all the dollar values are in September 2023 dollars. And we use the Water Development Board's unified costing model. They've got an updated one this cycle. We pulled that information in, and then those values, and we pull in the information from external studies into the unified costing model just to translate it to September 2023 values. And the committee then considered those costs along with all those other factors in vetting the strategies. And what we ended up landing upon, and it was a really good idea from the committee, was we developed these tools that essentially allowed us to convey the application of the process, where we started with what's the need? We look at conservation and water loss management strategies right off the bat, first thing, because those are the most cost-effective solutions that we can put into place to try and best manage the water we have today. Then what you end up with after conservation and water loss management is called a second-tier need. It's essentially, all right, I have a shortage. How much can I address with conservation and advanced conservation? And then what's the shortage that remains after conservation? And then once we take that, then we pull in the various recommended strategies. And the scope of work committee looked at the magnitudes, the timings of the strategies, where needs remain after strategies, what potential other strategies can be added. Again, a lot of vetting of strategies. It's integrated with that database that the Water Development Board has. So part of our process internally, just sharing a little bit of how the sausage is made, is that we take all of this information that's written up and we feed it into this database that the Water Development Board's developed called DB27. And that's how a state water plan ultimately gets pulled together. And the planning group, we developed this tool, and the committee, I'm sorry, not the planning group, the committee vetted this tool, and we evolved it over the course of those meetings. And a printed copy of the most recent version of that tool was sent out in your packet. Again, it's a really large spreadsheet that has a lot of detailed line items throughout it that essentially for every wholesale water provider, major water provider, and water user group in the region kind of tells that tale of need, if conservation could be applied, after conservation, what the need is, and other strategies that were identified and where those were from. And we then that formed the basis of information that the committee considered. And then ultimately, we carried that forward into sub-regional meetings that I'll get into in the next item. But it allowed us to have a compiled information base of all the strategies for folks to dig into and evaluate over the course of that committee's efforts. Out of that, those efforts, ultimately came a recommendation from the scope of work committee. Yes, sir.
All right. Does anybody have any questions for Tony?
No questions on anything he just went over for the scope of work committee? All right, so the scope of work committee, I'm going to let Gary handle this.
Okay.
Scope of work committee has a recommendation. So it comes to, I'm going to let you read it, Gary, since you're the chair, but it will come as a motion and a second. One change where it says authorized should be authorize, no D. So that's the recommendation that came from scope of work committee, and I'll let the chair of that committee, Gary Newman, read the recommendation.
Okay. As said, authorize the technical consultant to submit on behalf of the scope of work committee the recommended and alternative strategies and accompanying language for chapters 5 and 6 for the purpose of the 2026 Brazos G initially prepared plan for the Brazos G RWPG's consideration and possible action consistent with the information discussed and recommended by this committee for the potential adoption and approval for the consultant to work with the chair and administrator to submit further revisions, make responses to revisions requested as needed.
Okay, you've heard the recommendation from the scope of work committee. That comes as a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the recommendation? Go ahead, Dale.
Burke. All right, thank you, Wayne. And again, I want to just, for the purpose of the full planning group, just go over some of the additional conversations the scope of work had, which John referenced on this letter or this email that we received from Sarah Lee that you all have copies on. So I want to just highlight a couple of things. Appreciate all the work that Tony and his group did on outreach. Tremendous effort this planning cycle, probably the most intensive, I think, effort to reach out. Because this feasibility thing is really a new wrinkle. Obviously, we went back and we did some amendments on the last plan. We recognized that there were some things that were not going to be done in the decade that they were planned for, and so we did some amendments pushing them out 10 years. But I think the emphasis that I would like to highlight just for the full planning group is to recognize this responsibility of these feasibility studies really has put us in a difficult circumstance because we've got to have information because the instructions that I understood, and I misunderstand a lot of things, is that, you know, we needed to see some concrete action. You know, an entity needed to be taking votes. They needed to be expending funds. And so I think that's really been a challenge for the group is to really get our hands around what the responsibility is on our behalf. And there was a real, from my viewpoint, a real effort to say what's real in this planning process, what's truly going to be feasible, because the state of Texas is going to need this water, and it's got to be done in a timely manner. It cannot be delayed. And we all recognize that there's a delay in permitting processes and things along those lines. I think we appreciate the fact and the highlight of this letter is that we need to really be focused on the near term, not so much 50 years down the road, because a lot of things can happen. But what's the immediate need? And are these strategies going to be appropriate to meet that immediate need? I would submit to you that we've probably been, you know, going through this process multiple times. And we've got some strategies here that my viewpoint, unless somebody's has already started or immediately beginning to start, that water's not going to be there when it's supposed to be there. And that needs to be highlighted, in my viewpoint, in this particular planning cycle, because the next cycle is going to even be more difficult than the exercise that we've just been through. This is a drought of record plan, and I would submit to you, we're not in a drought of record, but we've got some folks that's not going to have water, that the state water plan says water is going to be there. And I think we need to be accurate and honest in this process. And so it was a recommendation from the scope of work. I know there are several members that have the same concern of the scope of work. Wanted to make you aware of part of those conversations. And clearly you can go back and you can listen to those meetings and get all of this lined up. But I think our attention really needs to be on the next planning cycle. I anticipate this is going to be approved today. But the work is going to be more difficult in the next planning cycle of how do we truly gauge what is feasible. There was some discussion about, well, how do we get prompt people to participate in this process so that we have good information to make decisions. And that was the discussion about removing a strategy if no one was communicating us, because I understood they needed to be taking some action or it was not going to be considered feasible. If we're not hearing from them, even the small entities that it's truly new, as Tony pointed out, when they outreached, they didn't have a clue who he was or what this process was about. But those entities need to be taking some action. So there's got to be some consequences for not participating. And if it, we were trying to figure out a way to motivate people to join the process. We didn't want to punish anybody, but to highlight the importance of their participation. Because we can't do the work we've been charged to do under the guidelines that we've been given to determine if it's feasible or not. And I think that's the challenge I would like for y'all to be aware of as we are about to vote on this, that it was an honest discussion of what we're really facing in this region. And if the state of Texas is going to continue to grow at the rate it's growing, we've got to get some things in place, and these projects need to be coming online sooner than later. So I wanted to bring that up, and I don't know if there's a method to highlight that, you know, in the plan, but I think that message needs to be communicated not only to the Water Development Board, but also the participating entities in Region G.
Thank you, Judge Spurgeon, for what you said, and he is absolutely correct. I agree with everything that he said. He summed up four meetings in about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Wayne, if I could, part of the simply the judge is spot on. One of the frustrations from the scope is we know a solution may need to be provocative to make this happen, and probably or maybe building a reservoir. Every time we run up against that, we say, well, that's just, it's going to take too long or whatever. So we'd like to send back to the Water Development Board that now's the time. If we don't all come together to create more distribution of the water, then there's going to be some very big problems. So I'm not sure this plan solves all that, but we at least want to talk to the Water Development Board about how we feel about that and the strategy going forward.
And I think there are some recommended in our policies that the policy committee came up with to address a few of those issues that you brought up. Not all of them, but some of them. Thank you both. Because I feel it's germane to the motion that we have, I'm going to ask Tony if you'd stand up, come to the microphone. Look at him. He's scared now. He's going to have he's fixing to get kidney stones again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I'll run out of the room.
Before he speaks, okay, go I ahead, just want to point out that I'm pretty impressed that he could stand up.
Yeah.
Considering what we've heard about his health,
so,
it's great to
so
see.
So Tony missed the last scope of work meeting. He got halfway here and turned around and went to the emergency room and texted me and says, I'm not going to be there. And he had kidney stones. How long were you laid up?
Too long.
Too long, okay. But he's much better. No, Tony, what I wanted you to ask, yeah, quit drinking the tea. Drink the water. And John might want to, I feel it's germane because of the things that Judge Spurgeon said, might want to add into that. But we have discussed a way to flag those non-responsive things. I want you to discuss that for a minute. Or tell us what we're planning on doing.
Sure. So we've compiled a table. We've kept a record of all of our outreach of what we've been doing over the course of the last 4 years. So between initial surveys, follow-up calls, what we get out of those follow-up calls, sometimes it's, oh, I'll get it to you this time, I promise. We don't get anything, you know, that kind of thing. But we've kept a record, and we can readily kind of at least pull out and provide in a appendix kind of which ones we have not heard from, where we haven't gotten much engagement. And at least that way, there's a bit of record and documentation of we certainly have plenty of documentation of our engagement. No doubt about that. The Water Development Board has got new, I point at Temple and John like they did it, but the Water Development Board has new rules and tasks about rural engagement. And of course, as us coming in as the new consultants, you know, we're hitting up everybody at a higher level of effort than before already. And so when they've added this rural engagement thing, we're just including that and documenting that as part and parcel of in the IPP. And then in the final plan, we'll have it even more fleshed out as we continue to engage. Point being is that the non-engagement part, we think it'd be good to have like an appendix that we keep that list. And I will tell you that I think as far as complete non-engagement, I think there's 35 entities out of 500 or so that we've heard, you know, boo from. And like the judge said, there's situations where they had no idea what regional planning was or who I was. And, you know, those kind of, you know, you're trying to hack my system or something, you know. But at least identifying those we think would be beneficial to helping the dialogue, as you're saying, about trying to evolve the conversation of water supply. We need to get everybody at the table. And it helps as much as possible. Now, that's 35 that we haven't heard from at all. But there's still some that we've spoken with, and then we don't get everything from, like, you know, on information on strategies and stuff like that. So we're just trying to document the level of effort that this planning group has made through your technical consultants and get that across so that the Water Development Board and other agencies understand, not just the other agencies, the water providers as well that look at the plan. That they get a sense of what this planning group's accomplishing and what they're trying to accomplish. And so we're including that in an appendix to the plan.
Okay, thank you. Kenny?
Just a quick clarification. You said 35 out of 500, no response. How many, or do you have a number of those that lack data that have not...
That lack data?
You said there was another group that had not.
I can count those up. I've only got right on the tip of my tongue the 35 that had no response whatsoever. But yes, I can pull up the ones that, like, if we're still lacking information on strategies or things like that, I can have a different count for that as well.
I think that'd be a good number to have in our hip pocket. I mean, this to me is, and I applaud the work of the scope of work to go through this. And this is a discussion that. You know, obviously the emphasis of the Water Development Board to try to get to those entities that are not able to respond for whatever reason is a critical gap. And I think it's a situation where the theory of policy sometimes does not, in actuality, is not practical in the day-to-day reality. And it may not be because somebody doesn't want to. There's various reasons that all of these. And so we need to provide as much and as loud a feedback in this as possible to say the theory is being put in place, but the reality is not closing the issue. And there's more work ahead for these entities that are going to need more education, more support somehow, just another mechanism to get there. So I just appreciate the effort, and I know it's frustrating because you know there's a gap there, and it's needed to be filled. And you think, well, why? I just want to emphasize it may not always be for lack of wanting to. It may just be for reasons that we can't understand because we're not sitting where they are. And thank you.
Yes, Tony?
I guess I know this subject is on, you know, the difficulties and some of the problems, and that's warranted that we focus our attention on that. But I do just want to mention, I feel compelled to say that we've had a lot of water providers in the region that have shared spectacularly, many of which are in the room, many of which aren't in the room, that it's like drinking from the fire hose when it in terms of getting information and just making sure that we're representing it accurately as best we can within the confines of the planning rules. And so I just want to note that this region has got a lot of folks that have engaged as well, and they know full well what's going on at the local level. Many of the planning group members have helped facilitate those discussions. Scope of Work Committee members, in fact, were reaching out and prompting folks and helping us to get that information. It wasn't just the technical consultants, it was the committee members themselves. So I just wanted to note that.
Thank you, Tony. I agree with what's been said. And I'm going to fall back on Judge Spurgeon because me and him been here longer than anybody else. I hate to say that. Makes us old, doesn't it? Or me, anyway, huh? But we as a committee, as a group, Region G, have produced a plan every 5 years since inception. And we have had to do that under certain restraints, certain things we didn't agree with, certain things that we had to do that we didn't want to do. And we're still there. We're still under the same restraints. And we are tasked with coming up with a plan for the region, which means a plan for every water user group within that region, whether they respond to us or not. Now, I agree with what the committee has come up with and what Dale has said, but we're under that constraint right now, just like we are with the MAG and other constraints, things that we can and can't do, and when we try to develop this plan. I have full confidence in every member here, and I say this everywhere I go, we got the best group out of all 16. And we will come up with a good plan. It won't be a perfect plan, but it'll be the one that we can come up with under the constraints that we have that are given to us by either the legislature or by the Texas Water Development Board. I think the Water Development Board is hearing us, some of our concerns. The director of water planning has come to this meeting to listen to those concerns. She came to the last scope of work committee meeting to listen to those concerns. I'm sure Temple will pass those concerns along if she hasn't already. But we are under constraints, and there's not much we can do about those constraints right now, except continue to push to try to get some things changed. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion on this recommendation from the Scope of Work Committee? And I, too, commend the Scope of Work Committee for the work that they did. I commend all our committees, the Policy Committee, the Groundwater Committee, the Bylaw and Nominating Committee. They have all worked hard. All of you have. If I don't hear any more discussion, then we will try this by voice vote. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All those opposed, no. It passes, and everyone was present to vote. Thank you for your comments and your suggestions. We just need to continue that suggestions and recommendations to the Water Development Board as we go forward. Dialogue. Yes, the dialogue. Just a moment. It's by the motion and the second was by the committee.